Hi everyone, I'm very happy to get back. I'm finally back from my maternity leave. Yay! So I can get back to interviewing crazy and awesome ladies for girls. And today I have Melissa. She's one of my dearest friends and she's amazing. She's working at Microsoft and she's doing other crazy things outside of work. You're gonna hear everything about her today. Hi Melissa, welcome to Girls.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so honored to be part of this, and we are so happy to have you back from your maternity leave.
Thank you.
But I am missing seeing you hanging around with your drone and all of the crazy things that you got to do whenever you were out on maternity leave.
That is true, yeah. I don't know if I can fly my drone at work, but I'll ask. I'll ask and see if I can.
I'm sure Googs might be able to sort that out.
We'll see how it goes. Can you introduce yourself, Melissa?
So my name is Melissa Sassy, and I am currently in the global advertising team at Microsoft, but I'm very, very excited because I'm starting a new job.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I haven't started yet, so I'm in the process now of transitioning my responsibilities, but I have worked very hard to transition my career from one in marketing and advertising to social good and impact, but not just social good and impact, a business role as well. So I'm joining the Affordable Access Initiatives team. Our goal is to connect the unconnected in rural villages, refugee camps, communities.
Wow, Microsoft is doing all of
this. Yeah, I'm so excited to be part of an organization that is not just thinking about how do we build the next best tools, or how do we think about mobile, how do we think about cloud, but how do we connect the unconnected? How do we think about solving societal problems and the role that technology can play to really transform the world?
Wow, how is this team operating right now? What do they do? What do they connect? You said they connect the unconnected, so what do they do right now?
So the focus is on three different areas, one of them being internet access. So if you think about a rural village in Kenya, for example, there is a project, and I'm sure that there are amazing videos out there that you can find on the net, but one of them is harnessing TV white space, so unused radio waves, and enabling people in rural villages in Kenya, for example, to gain access to the internet. And it's not just gaining access to the internet, it's about making, using, creating, doing, and really incorporating the cloud and technology tools to transform lives. So it's one thing to be able to access your social media, one thing to be able to, you know, look for things on the internet, but our goal is really thinking about how do you, you know, create viable solutions that, again, empower people and their lives, making them makers and not users, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely. That is amazing. I can't even imagine like teams like this at Microsoft. This is really great.
I think for me, knowing that I'm not a deeply technical person, but I've learned, and I have had an amazing opportunity to work with amazing engineers, PhD scientists who have went to MIT and some of the best schools out there. I personally didn't. You know, I personally went to a state school and really worked hard to come in into an industry that for me sounded scary at one time and felt as if it wasn't a place for me, and recognizing that it's absolutely the perfect place for me. I think at Microsoft I have discovered, what do I want to do in life? What do I care about? And I found so many more opportunities than I never thought was possible. If you would have had this conversation with me 2 years ago, I wouldn't have had all of these things to talk about.
Can you tell us more about your story?
Sure.
What are the studies that you did, and how did you now come up to work at Microsoft?
Sure. So I actually came over through the Nokia acquisition. So I have had a few different roles, but all in kind of the agency management or creative or kind of procurement supply chain places. So this is really a nice transformation, moving from a very different career into something new. And I really was able to achieve all of that by skills-based volunteerism. So I spend a significant amount of my time reading, researching, collaborating externally, and volunteering my time to gain those skills that I may not have had 2 years ago or even a year and a half ago.
That's amazing. So tell us more about what you're doing outside of work.
All right. So about a year ago, and I actually just got the notification through my LinkedIn yesterday that apparently a year ago I started a nonprofit called Mentor Nations. And our
just
team.
Just 1 year ago?
I know. I can't believe it.
Wow.
I know.
It's so huge now. I can't believe it's just 1 year.
I know. So we teach coding. We teach technology entrepreneurship. We do kind of what I'll call snackable digital literacy camps.
How did you get the idea to start Mentor Nation?
So my children live in Tunisia, in North Africa, and I realized that my daughter did not have access to technology in her classroom. And initially I thought, wow, what can I do? How can I transform her school? What went from one school back in October of 2015 has since become what I would consider a Microsoft movement of empowering kids in classrooms to gain access to technology, not just physical devices, but also skills and the ability to take physical access, connectivity to the internet, and thrive in the classroom, whether you're a teacher, a student, an administrator, but really kind of rethinking the role of technology in Tunisian classrooms. What I realized as part of going back and forth between America and Tunisia was that I had a very large group of friends, and my friends were all devs. And it took a little while for me to realize that, wait a second, we've all got these amazing skills. You know, I may have skills in terms of networking and marketing and creating something from nothing and, you know, philanthropic endeavors, mm-hmm. but realizing my counterparts are all building amazing applications and web solutions, you know, some of them more front-end, others more back-end. And my friends all lived and breathed technology. And most of my friends, I realized, whether it was them, whether it was their families, you know, lived in communities with upward of 57% unemployment of educated youth. So for example, in the Jindouba region of Tunisia, if you look at some studies that just were released by one of the larger think tanks in Tunisia, 57% unemployment.
Wow.
These are youth who have went to university, they're in their 20s, they care, they want to do something, but they have not necessarily been either prepped in a way to bring them to think about entrepreneurship as an option, or to really think about how to, you know, grow the community in a different kind of way. So I thought, wow, what can I do? Mm. And so we all started working together, and it was initially just a small group of us, and we decided, what if we all jumped in the car and we had these devices, and what if we all did a mini coding camp?
And this was in the hackathon, right?
I remember. Kind of.
I think it's, I don't know if it's linked to the hackathon. Yeah. I remember I met you in the hackathon.
Yeah.
But, yeah. By the way, hackathon is a Microsoft internally event that Microsoft does every summer, and everyone get to hack for 3 days, not work, but hack. And this is how I met Melissa in the hackathon tent.
Yeah, so we created an initiative to really look at what do we do with our devices that are, you know, last of life, to try to figure out, is there something better that we could do with them? Now we've, I would say, had a really nice partnership with our philanthropies team to figure out, you know, what are their nonprofit partners? What are some of the activities that they have in play, whether they're local nonprofits here in the, you know, Seattle area or in far corners of the earth? It really gave me this viewpoint of what are we doing with devices, what are we doing with skill building, and kind of bringing these things together. So I would say for our mobile coding camp, we were able to get onto HP's radar screen. And so HP actually gave us devices.
Wow.
So we probably have about 20 some odd devices, and we have a team in Tunisia, and they spend their weekends teaching kids to code. In some cases, it's just inspiring kids and teaching them, hey, here's how a computer works, here's how you turn it on. For many of us in our everyday, we might have a million different computers at home, and some of them sitting in a closet that we haven't turned on before. And right. Most of our, you know, our friends, our kids, our whatever, are used to turning on a device and knowing what to do with it. And what we discovered is a lot of the rural children, whether it's Tunisia or Bangladesh or Pakistan, or some of the refugee camps that our team has traveled to on the Syrian border, there's so many kids out there that have not even turned on a physical device before. So we started out with Hour of Code, and our focus was on really kind of demystifying computer science and really breaking down some of the barriers of what it means to be a woman in tech, what it means to be a girl in tech, what it means to be a disenfranchised boy, or, you know, someone who might have physical limitations that might have you know, seen himself as different growing up, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but really kind of breaking down these barriers. What it taught me is I can do a little bit of JavaScript now.
Congratulations.
Okay, I don't want to have a test, though.
No, that's good. So you teach other kids, but you also learned along the way.
I have a long way to go, and I keep telling everyone it's time for me to go to a boot camp so that I'm as competent as all of our volunteers. I know the buzzwords now, and I can be a little bit more competent, mm-hmm. but if you sat me down and told me I need to, you know, open up Xamarin and break out my C sharp. I might need to call Dia Khalid for help.
Jürgen, it's not very hard. This is the point. It's not hard to code if you at least learn the basics. You learn some algorithms, you know, at least the idea.
Computational thinking.
Yeah, and then problem solving. Mm-hmm. And then technologies, they all evolve. Mm-hmm. Like, you can learn a technology right now, and mm-hmm. then 5 years from now, it's outdated. Mm-hmm. So at least learn the basics, and mm-hmm. then you can go from there.
I mean, in my mind, what I say to a lot of people, again, whether I'm a hardcore techie or not, is, you know, learn the basic building blocks and figure out, you know, at least get that mystical thing away from you, which I think a lot of us, even if we want to share our skills forward, I have a lot of, you know, my community who will come to me and say, I'd like to share my skills forward. How do I do that? Mm-hmm. How do I teach others about, you know, I know Xamarin really well. How can I teach others? And I've been very lucky to have really great relationships in with our Microsoft student partner community, who always just stand up and volunteer to help make us
amazing.
Better. Same thing with the MVP, the Microsoft Valued Professionals. I'm not sure I would be where I am today in my new job, which I'm excited to start soon, as well as Mentor Nations, without our developer experience team, both internally and externally.
So let's summarize about Mentor Nation. You had the idea of bringing devices to a school. Mm-hmm. And then from that idea, mm-hmm. what does become Mentor Nation right now after a year?
Good question. And I still am so excited to imagine what was us.
Initially.
initially, it was a Microsoft project, and it was something that fell outside of Mentor Nations that really inspired me to see that there's something more that we could do on the outside, that I could be, or we could be, kind of an implementer or an accelerator or an incubator that kind of takes some of the Microsoft things to the next level, mm-hmm. with our own talents, with our own time, with our own resources. So what's happening, or what has been happening, we've done hundreds of dev camps. And I say dev camps because I know that you can, gosh, a dev camp can mean so many different things.
Yeah.
You can come in and you can spend an hour and realize, okay, all right, I know how to do this. Or you can spend a whole day and figure out how to build a basic application. We typically work with youth. So if we're thinking about a child who's never turned on a computer, that is going to be so different than if we've got university students who have been exposed to, you know, different programming languages and understand the basic building blocks of learning to code. We've worked together with the American ambassador in Tunisia,
wow.
and did a little coding event with him, and we got him to shear a sheep and talk about cutting the sheep's hair, which was a lot of fun. You know, sitting at an embassy and hearing an ambassador ask you if the sheep's hair got cut okay, that was pretty fun.
That's really funny.
So we did that. We had a chance to do the same thing with the acting ambassador from Georgia, mm-hmm. and made a video actually here as well.
Oh, that's so cool.
And then we've also done something similar with Salah Mejri from the Dallas Mavericks. For those of us who are not familiar with Salah Mejri, he is the first Tunisian to join the NBA, and he's quite a star in the Arab community. I come up to about here on Salah, but
I saw the pictures.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
So just having a good time, really inspiring others to understand that whether you are an expert in computer science or you've never turned on a computer before, how can we inspire people to love tech like we do?
Yeah, that's amazing.
My most exciting thing, I would say, that is coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So tomorrow I am I'm jumping on a plane, and I am flying to Paris, and we've been invited to speak at the Mobile Learning Week from the UN, and so we are talking about our stance when it comes to, or our vision. You know, I think for us, we feel that learning technology skills, and that doesn't even have to be learning to code. It could be really knowing how to operate things that many of us take for granted,
mm-hmm.
Office, knowing how to build a PowerPoint, knowing Excel, these kinds of things, of how do we take some of these even standard tools and empower refugees and individuals who might be impacted by migration or individuals who might be thinking about taking a stance or taking taking a trip somewhere else beyond their home country because of, you know, extreme poverty or because of extreme unemployment issues. Our hope is really to inspire our youth, to inspire other youth who will inspire others to really think about the role that they can play to transform their own communities, and really those two things being technology and, you know, employability or entrepreneurship, because obviously not.
How does it feel to speak for the UN?
My gosh, you know, I was in New York last week for the UN's Women's Commission, and was asked to talk on a very similar topic, but focused on women and girls in tech. And for me,
What was the presentation about?
So the conversation, there was, gosh, five team members who were invited, and it was all about inspiring women in tech, and really thinking about women and girls in Africa transforming their lives through technology, mainly through mobile application development. I'm a big fan of Xamarin, but I think if you haven't had that background and really understand, you know, again, those basic building blocks of code, if you're not, you know, competent in computer science, it's a little bit hard, I think, to pick up and teach in a day. I think that's probably the same with any technology tool or any skill, whether it's technology or anything else.
Definitely. I'm very happy about everything you're having. It's so inspiring. What's your goal for Mentor Nation now for the next year or the next 5-10 years?
So we, I think, have a pretty good solid team in a handful of different countries. So we're very focused on what's happening in Tunisia, Pakistan, Jordan, mainly Syrian refugees, and Bangladesh. I've learned that I have so many different people who have reached out from all over the world, whether it's the youth mobile team from UNESCO, or even just random people in Madagascar or Mauritania.
And everyone is
or
willing to help, volunteering. It's all 100% volunteers.
Everyone is a volunteer. Every penny, everything that we get, it goes out into the community. I don't take a salary. There are a few of my volunteers, which I help make sure that they can eat and they can live their lives in a way that was once never possible. I haven't had anyone really say no or not offer up to have a meeting, because I think they can see that we have really a passion for inspiring people to transform their lives through technology. And for us, it's all youth-led. So every person who's doing anything besides me, I'd love to say I'm a youth, but I'm not sure.
Everyone is a youth in their heart.
But our entire team is all youth-led. Everyone's in their 20s. Everyone's in university or you know, in a place in their life where they're still trying to figure out where do they want to go, what do they want to do. For us, it's partly about inspiring these trainers. These trainers, I think, have come so far, and I'm so proud of the work that they're doing. You know, I look back and think of what we did a year ago and the leadership that Reswanar and Afroza have taken on in Bangladesh, or Ali in Pakistan, or Dia, Safwan, Selsabil. You know, everyone is just doing some amazing work where I look back and I'm like, wow, how did I find such an amazing team? And I would say we all feel like we're family.
This is amazing. I'm impressed with everything you're doing outside of work. And now finally, I mean, not finally, but it's great that you found the right fit that fits with what you're doing outside to what you're gonna be doing inside, which I think it's amazing. Oh, you can go ahead, guys. That's fine. We're filming, but that's fine. It's casual. Okay. What's your advice before we go to the rapid fire questions? What's your advice to any young girl out there, or even an old girl, that's fine, who's hesitating to jump into the tech world? She's like maybe a person watching right now and saying, I don't know if that I'm a good fit and working in tech or learning to code, or even like working with someone who's coding. What would you tell them?
So I think a few different things. First off, I think there's this misconception. There's this misconception. I think the questions are on mine.
Yeah, I'm trying to get them on my phone.
I think there's a misconception that, you know, everyone in tech needs to be an engineer or needs to code, mm-hmm. or needs to know how to code. You know, if you asked me a few years ago, that's what I would have thought.
Yeah.
You know, I wouldn't have thought that, oh, I have a place in this role or that role. And for me, as a, you know, as someone who studied business, that's my background, business. Mm-hmm. I would have never thought that this would be the place for me. And I think what I've discovered is this is actually more of a place for me than any other job I've ever had. And I don't even know how to imagine not being in tech. It just doesn't, everything's happening so fast. I feel like I'm exposed to so many amazing things. Mm. But I think we all have to find that right mentor for us, and we all have to find that right sounding board. Mm. We all have different personality types, and we all have, you know, different things that excite us, and we all have different things that motivate us. What motivates me might be very different than what motivates you. And I think, you know, we often have, you know, advice that comes from a lot of different places, or what we see on social media, or who we chat with. But I think it's about finding that right trusted advisor, mm. that right mentorship. There are a lot of amazing organizations out there, whether it's Girls Who Code or Women Who Code, Black Girls Code. I think there are many, many amazing organizations out there,
yep.
that offer up advice for women and girls who are thinking about either starting a career in tech, mm. or forget about tech for a second, STEM, you know, as,
yeah,
a whole,
yeah, STEM as a whole.
There are so many different, you know, girls and women who are challenged every day by thinking about, is that job for me? Is that role for me? Gosh, I just transformed my career over the last year. If you would have talked to me 2 years ago about this, I would have not even imagined I'd be sitting here talking about this right now.
Yeah. So just as a conclusion, this means whatever personality you have, you can definitely find your right fit in tech. Mm-hmm. Whatever your passion is or your personality, because tech is touching everything.
Exactly.
So
I think
definitely
there are
gonna find
every
fit.
Company has technology in it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Obviously Microsoft is more of an engineering-driven organization,
yeah.
and you know, we're focused on tech, but without having a legal team or a marketing team or an HR team or all of the different functions that fit in, it doesn't mean that you have to be a coder, or you have to be this or that,
right.
or you fit a mold to be in tech.
Yep. But if you can also learn to code, it's amazing.
I know, I'm trying. I'm working on it.
Okay. Okay, we're gonna go to the rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Coffee or tea?
Both.
You really rapid fire answers.
You said they were rapid fire.
Yes, yes, they are. Okay. What do you spend money on that makes your life easier?
Ooh, that's a great question. I would say all of my money. All of my money goes toward mentor nations. I think you can talk to all of my volunteers. I really try to put every penny that I have, every cent that I have into mentor nations. I actually moved into a smaller apartment about a year ago so that I would have more money to go into mentor nations and move closer to the office so that I could do more, so that we could do more.
Yeah.
I don't know if that makes things easier or not, but it helped me move into a new job. Does that count?
Yeah, it helped build your skills, even though it's not related right away. It's just a longer route.
Exactly. I mean, maybe that's hard, but that's where my money goes.
Okay, makes sense. What's the first thing you do in the mornings before you head to work?
You know, I'd love to say that, you know, I used to go and wake up and I'd work out. But gosh, I grab my phone. I grab my phone and I typically look for three things,
mm-hmm.
not in this order. I will look at my text messages. I will look at my emails. And I'm very active in Facebook, for those of you who follow me or collaborate with me. A lot of my volunteers, my community is really on Facebook.
Facebook.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously, I use Twitter. I also use Instagram, mm-hmm. and share a lot of photos. But we collaborate a lot. Granted, you know, there's not really that searchability of messaging. But
in the Arab world, it's the social network number one.
Exactly.
Makes
in the
sense.
Arab world, which is where
your
either
focus.
Between the Arab world, Bangladesh,
yeah.
you know, Pakistan, it's just an easy place for all of us to meet up. So I typically wake up and maybe have 100 messages that I have to get through.
Wow.
Sometimes a little bit more. Once I announce my new job formally, I think there'll be a lot of messages to go through, both in LinkedIn, Facebook,
yeah.
everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, I can believe. Do you listen to music when you work? What kind of music?
I don't listen to music when I work. And I think there's probably so much music going on in my head that if I had something out loud, I think they'd fight with one another, maybe.
Okay, fair enough. What's your favorite app?
Ooh, my favorite app. You know, I would love to say something more creative or different, but because all of my volunteers are in Facebook and we communicate through Facebook, it is Facebook.
Yeah.
And I think for many people, you know, different people use Facebook differently. For me, it's the place where my community is. Mm. And I've played around with different things in Facebook and different social channels, but what I've found is that from my own personal Facebook, not my Mentor Nation site, I would say my Mentor Nation's Facebook page is, I'd say, a little bit more scripted. We are a little bit more cautious, but in my personal Facebook page or in the Facebook pages of my volunteers, we just find much more collaboration, and I'm sure that has something to do with Facebook's algorithms of looking at, you know, how do I share content between a personal page or an organizational page, and I just find that it's much more collaborative, and it really feels like authentic. It is authentic, both for me and our team. But I think on the Mentor Nation side of things, it's just I do it, but I love the personal side of it.
I get that,
but I like Instagram as well.
yeah, it's fun. It's fun to share pictures, but I can understand your favorite app is where your community is.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And for me, it's more about that personal interaction, less about anything else, but personally interacting with the gang.
Yeah. Well, the next question is, you can say pass. If you don't have an answer, what's your favorite language to code in?
Well, since I only know a few, like, I've only written a few lines of code in only one language. By default, it's JavaScript,
okay.
But that's just because that's where Hour of Code, you know, that's what I see in Hour of Code.
Mm. Okay.
So let's just go with that. I could make up the story of, well, you know, in Xamarin, I use the C#.
Yeah. No, that's fine. That's fair. Yeah, I think.
What about you? What's your favorite language to code in?
I like JavaScript, even though a lot of people don't like it. Like, especially people who code in C#, they don't like JavaScript because it's like not as in a box as C#. But you know, Microsoft has TypeScript, which makes JavaScript looks like C#, which that's what I like to use. TypeScript with JavaScript makes it. Yeah.
So I didn't fail that bad. I wasn't like, oh no, I have no idea.
No, but every coder is different.
I mean, one of my goals, you know, really over the next, you know, I want to take care. I've got a million things that I'm working on because I'm also working on my PhD. But one of the things that I'd like to be able to do is become competent in, you know, some language. But I think the conversation I always have with any dev is, well, why do you want to learn? And I'm like, well. And it's almost like, well, what do you want to build?
Yep, that's
That's always the question I get. And so it's kind of like this chicken and egg kind of question of, well, what should I build? Well, what do you want to build? Well, I don't know. I don't know if I want to build anything. So I just haven't quite crossed that bridge yet, even though, you know,
Right, though, because we don't care what's the coding language that you're going to use. Mm-hmm. And what we care about is the product that you're going to ship.
So maybe Bob Tabor, I'm going to learn C# and check out your videos.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to do that anyway. I had a dream about Bob Tabor yesterday. Teaching me C#.
Hey, why not? Shoot him an email, right?
I know.
What's the most useless gadget you bought, or what's the worst buyer remorse experience?
Okay. I bought a Fitbit, and I never did anything with it. I never turned it on. I never wore it. I don't even know if I still have it. Maybe I gave it away. I'm not sure. That would be one. The second one, which is, I know I'm only supposed to answer one, but I'm going to answer a second one. No, this one is more like, maybe it makes me a dummy. I'm not sure. But we were getting ready to go out on our summer coding tour, and we were going to hit 12 different cities in North Africa. And they were like, me and my devs, and we were all in the car, and we had these OneNote capes, and we're like, let's get a GoPro. Ugh. And we never taught ourselves how to use it.
Oh no.
Which I'm with
so
like a whole car full of technical people, and we did nothing. We got back and we're like, yeah, well, we didn't create a video.
You guys, next time you create a video, I'll put it on channel.
That sounds awesome. So this is one of the things that I'd like to improve upon. We don't do as great of a job as we could, creating videos really sharing some of the, emotional things that we all experience when we walk into a rural school where kids don't have heat and the windows are broken.
Yeah.
We've done some, a few scrappy things, but I think we could really step up our game and make use of that GoPro.
Yep. Yep. Definitely.
Dia, make use of that GoPro.
What's a product you would want to work on?
So
it could be from Microsoft or outside Microsoft.
To be honest with you, I am so excited about my new job. So the Affordable Access team.
Yeah.
We will be harnessing TV white space to get rural villages connected to the internet. Our team just did a project, and it's still in the process of being rolled out. It just happened like last week or the week before. Mm. At a refugee camp in Malawi.
Wow.
And for me, there's no other place that I would rather be joining than a team that is thinking about business, thinking about societal impact, and changing the world with technology.
This question was built by an engineer. So it's like, what's a product? Because engineers are like, wanna build product. But we always forget the social aspect. So I can definitely understand.
And I think Microsoft has made this amazing, in my mind, kind of, I think we've always been an organization focused on giving and being philanthropic is part of our culture and what we care about. But I've really seen these amazing stances happening within our community, within our organization around whether it's, challenging political questions that are coming up and taking a stance on those types of things in terms of civic engagement or policy outward, which has been really, I think, exciting for me. But really thinking about how are we taking our products and impacting societal problems. Refugees, youth.
I love that. I definitely love that. Next question. Star Wars or Star Trek? I know, you can say neither.
Oh, I'm not cool. I'm not cool. This is where, shoot.
That's fine. You can say, I didn't watch any of them. That's fine.
I know I have.
But you don't like them.
I don't care. Pass.
Okay, pass. That's fine.
I'm sorry, guys.
That's fine.
This is when you can totally find. Yeah. This is when you realize that you're not an engineer. When they're like, "What? Huh?"
Well, it's not related to being an engineer. It's
I know.
Like
I'm just
this
kidding.
Community watched the same things at some point. I don't know why, but it's the case.
So if you haven't watched Star Trek and you haven't watched Star Wars, you can still be in tech.
Yeah, definitely. You can definitely be. What's your advice to the younger generation to get into tech? I think we already get that.
Yeah, I think we've answered
what's
that one.
What's your biggest online time waster? Well, that's Facebook.
Facebook for me is a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
I do get a lot of messages from people I don't know, and I know everyone has good intentions for the most part. But I just don't have enough time to mentor everyone, answer everybody's questions, take part in your thesis or whatever. My intentions are good, but I have to really prioritize where I spend my time. And I'm very lucky that I've got a really great group of leaders across a handful of countries so that if something comes in, I can refer them to someone else.
Right.
So that even if I'm, the founder or whatever you want to call it, of Mentor Nations, I can't be everywhere. If I try to be everywhere, I end up being everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah.
So I'm very lucky that I've got a handful of people who can pick things up, or sometimes I just have to say no.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm done with my questions. Is there anything you want to add? I'm going to add the link to Mentor Nations.
Okay.
What's your website?
Oh, yeah. So it's mentornations.org. We're in the process of updating our site now. We are going to be launching some really amazing stories, really from youth, of how Mentor Nations has impacted their lives, and kind of with an aim of connecting our volunteers to problems that we all have everywhere. I know sometimes when we look at a case study or we look at something from a nonprofit, you look at this child or this woman, and it's so hard to resonate with or find her story relevant to yours. And so that's one of the things that we're trying to do, is to tell some of our stories from their voice, from their perspective, but in a way where you can, as a, let's say me, I can identify with Afroza in Bangladesh, and Afroza can identify with me. So we've got five of them that we're working on. I've got an amazing storyteller who is partnering with me to put the stories together. So the site is still like under construction. We've got one up there that is okay, it's up there, and I'm sure
you want to make it
I'm sure how many of us are who are working on a million different things, whether we've got our own startup or we've got our own, you know, nonprofit. It's kind of how do we balance?
I can definitely relate.
So lots of work to do. We're all very much focused on executing, and sometimes you have to balance. Am I going to execute, or am I going to go out and talk about what I'm executing? And when we have to trade off those things, we're going to focus on executing.
Okay. So if we want to know, we get to know like news about Mentor Nations or anything you're working on, what should we do? Follow you on Twitter or
I would say
follow the Facebook page? Or
I think the Facebook page is probably the best. You know, and maybe I'm not supposed to say personally I'm happy to connect, but I totally am. Happy to connect there. I'm happy to connect through our Mentor Nations page. And I'm also happy to connect through through Twitter.
Okay. Well, thank you, Melissa, for being on
Gals.
I'm very happy to have you. And that's it. I'll put all the links in the description under the video. And you can tweet to Melissa if you have any questions.
Yeah, tweet to me. I'll respond.
Okay. Thank you, Melissa.
Awesome. Thanks.
Bye.